He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today, friends, on this Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to you. It's hump day already. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. I invite you guys to church tonight. We are in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 3, 6 o'clock here. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. You're invited for our midweek Bible study. If you're new to the area, or if you're looking for a church home, or if your church does not meet Wednesday and you want to get into the Word with us, I encourage and invite you to come to Island Community Church here tonight. If you're tuned in at 5:30 rebroadcast, you still have 30 minutes to make it to church tonight, and we would love to see you. I'd love to meet you if you're a listener in here on the radio. If you're unable to make it here, you can watch live online on the Island Community Church Facebook page. That'll turn on live right promptly at 6 o'clock here tonight. Now, here on the radio today and tomorrow, you're going to hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and then Friday we'll be back with Revelation chapter 13. I think I'm going to do something different Friday. I've got something I've called character traits of the Antichrist. We can know more about this guy than he knows about himself, because the Bible has a lot to say about him. We will probably look at that on Friday. But here today, Wednesday and Thursday, we're looking at the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul's thrown everyone under the bus, so to speak, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now here he hits us with a but now. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we're at. Let's pick it up. This will wrap up tomorrow, Thursday's program. Friday, we'll be back in the book of Revelation. Sunday, I'm preaching out of Romans chapter 5. You're invited to attend our Sunday. You're invited to attend any one of our services if you enjoy this program and if you're looking for a new church home. Okay, here we go. This is part one of this message, The Righteousness of God. Island Community Church has a radio program. It's on at 7:30 a.m. and 5:30 in the afternoon on 91.5. Also, too, our fundraiser starts Monday, and if you guys would like to support that, it's listener-supported, and it's one of the last voices there is left on Christian radio that's preaching the gospel. There's a big shortage of that, especially of locally owned stations like our station, and that fundraiser starts on Monday, so certainly would appreciate your help. Just hate to take Christian radio for granted, because if you don't support it, then there's going to be polka on there, you know? You know, you wake up one day, you turn it on, and you hear roll out the barrel. And you're like, what in the world happened? That's because the believers never stood up. And God is able to take even a $5 gift and magnify that into something great. So I just encourage you guys to help and support the radio station. So, okay, are we rolling, Dwayne? Are we rolling, Carol? Okay, the righteousness of God, that's where we're at here today. We left off last week with the Apostle Paul wielding a mighty pen, like that old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. Now he's in the process of showing everyone, the entire human race, that they are all sinners in need of salvation. He exposed alternative lifestyles. In chapter 1, gays and lesbians who dishonor their bodies. He exposed atheists and agnostics, called them fools. He exposed all those who approve of deliberate sinners. He exposed extreme environmentalists who worship the creation instead of the Creator. Lastly, he added that there can actually come a time when God will give a person up or give them over, that is, leave them to their own devices. Imagine that, right? I mean, that's your own worst nightmare, isn't it? Never being convicted again of sin, having your own conscience seared with a hot iron, not giving a rip anymore that you're evil. You ever wonder what that looks like? You don't have to wonder, do you? Click, turn on the television set, and look around. That's what this looks like. That's what this, that is this verse in action. Look around. All these people who go around killing innocent men, women, and children and don't give a rip about it. That's what this verse looks like, which we looked at last week. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So you wonder what that looks like? Look around. That's not future prophecy only. That's right here and now. That there can actually come a time in a person's life where God no longer convicts you of sin. Now this from John MacArthur. He says, having demonstrated the sinfulness of the immoral pagan, Paul now presents his case against the religious moralist. So he's going to start all of that with a scathing rebuke for people who pass judgment on other people. We're in Romans chapter 2. If you guys have a Bible, we're going to pick it up right from the top, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody there? Notice the whoever's and the whatever. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable. It's that same word, apologetos, we looked at last week. No one has an apology. No one has an excuse. This time is going to say, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Then he tells you why. Keep reading. Because you who judge practice the same things. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Meaning, leave the judging and the convicting up to God. Share the word with people. Don't judge them. He's warning you not to judge people. Leave the judgment up to him. That was one of Billy Graham's lines. I always loved that. When they asked him, I've never heard you be critical or judge another ministry. And they'd say, why is that? And he said, I just share the love of God. I share the word of God. And I love on people. And I leave it up to the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Wise advice. But do not judge, and I say, isn't that the truth? We're so good at finding particular faults in other people because they're doing the same things that we do. And we're experts in that particular line of sin. No one recognizes a gossip more than a gossip. We tend to notice it in other people. While we're experts in that particular sin. The Apostle Paul now lumps you, that is those who judge others, he's now lumps you in with all the other sinners from chapter 1 that we looked at last Sunday. So the solution to the problem is don't judge somebody else. Whoever you are, he says,
whoever you are who judge. Now, there's no fine line here. We are to judge false teachers and heretics, but not a brother in the faith. Jesus said, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." And he promised to use your yardstick, the one that you use to judge people. He promises to borrow your yardstick and use the same one against you. So leave the convicting up to the Holy Spirit. Here's a good note that I read on this text. This text here consists of those who look down their noses at others, considering themselves to be more civilized and more educated and more refined. They condemn the pagans for their gross behavior, yet are equally guilty themselves, though perhaps in a more sophisticated way. Fallen man can see the faults in others more readily than in himself. Things hideous and repulsive in the lives of others seem quite respectable in their own lives. In other words, it might be bad in your life, but regarding me, you see, God understands, right? Isn't that how it goes? Don't do that. But for me, you see, God understands when I do it because I'm different. I'm not like you, Martha. You see, I'm different. God understands it with me, but you're condemned. He says, watch out now. Don't do that. Be careful. Leave the judging and the convicting. That's the Holy Spirit, right? He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness. That is getting right with him. We're going to find out how to do that today. And of judgment. The Holy Spirit does that. And he's warning you, don't do that. Therefore, when someone commits the very sins he condemns in others, he leaves himself without excuse, is what he says here. So here's another group that stands guilty before God and is in need of a Savior just like everybody else. All right, verse 5, with the same result as everybody else. He says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up. That word treasure is the word thesaurus. Your kids probably have one of these. Or maybe you still got one in your house. A thesaurus. Look at this thesaurus. Judgment of God. You're building your own thesaurus, is what he's saying here. You're treasuring up for yourselves, not for someone else. You're treasuring up. You've got your own thesaurus. You're treasuring up for yourselves wrath. In the day of wrath and the revelation or unveiling of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life, I'm in verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. All right, so you've got two lists here. The first one is indignation, wrath, tribulation and anguish. That's in your thesaurus. The second list, glory, honor, and peace. To everyone who does good. What a day that will be. I mean, the day of wrath and revelation or unveiling. Let me show you what that looks like here today. Let me read these verses to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation. Right off that list, he says, in the day of wrath, this is what this looks like. It is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those that don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired amongst all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, maybe you say, this is a terrible day and I don't want any part of it. And to that I say, you don't have to if you don't want to. Hell is not prepared for you. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, Jesus said. You don't have to have any part of this day. The day of wrath and the day of the unveiling of the righteous judgment of God is a day reserved for everyone who has rejected his pardon and who refused to receive his life preserver, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the only one who can pay the cost for your sins. This is the whole idea of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ and why he had to die. He died so that you and I would never have to take place or be a part of the day of wrath. That's not your future. The day of wrath and day of revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, follow along with me here. Let me show you. This is the part of the chain reaction that occurs when you receive God's pardon. Romans 5:1 says this. It says, and we'll get to this verse here in a couple weeks. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you transfer from this day of wrath to this peace. Having been justified, remember, when we see the word justified and the word righteous, it's the same Greek word. It's a legal term. It means when God literally takes his gavel, hears your case, and all depending on the evidence, pronounces judgment over you. Having been justified, that is, declared not guilty in God's court of law. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that is what salvation is all about. The substitutionary death of the Son of God. Jesus died instead of you. Because the wages of sin, he's going to tell us in a minute, the wages of sin is death. And the good news is Jesus steps in and dies in our place. That is good news, isn't it? Which leads us to Romans 8:1. He says, there is therefore, that is, since you've received him, since you've called on the name of the Lord, therefore now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That means you, Christian, will never face the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's for everyone who is upset that God loves them and refuses his pardon. Not you. He's read you your future. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right, now let's follow along here in Romans. We'll see the Apostle Paul give more evidence of everyone's guilt, both Gentiles and Jews as well, especially the Jews, because they should have known better. because they were entrusted with the very oracles of God. They have an Old Testament and an Old Covenant. You have one covenant as a Gentile. You have one covenant, one testament, the New Testament, your relationship with Christ. That is what you have. Okay, we're in chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 17. He's throwing everyone under the bus. He's showing everyone no one can stand before God and be accepted the way that they are. And no one is better than anyone else, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, verse 17. Now he's going to address the Jewish person. Indeed, you who are called a Jew and rest on the law, you make your boast in God, and you know his will. You approve the things that are excellent. You're instructed out of the law. You are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Now there's a sin that we all need to avoid. The name of God is blasphemed amongst others because of something that we do. When pastors and church leaders fall, it's splattered all over the news. And the Catholic priests who fall and hurt children. This was the reason that God didn't heal David's first child that he had with Bathsheba. The Bible says this, Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sins and you will not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child who was born to you shall surely die. It's 2 Samuel 12:13. So what kind of things could we do today that would cause others to blaspheme the name of God? I got a few things. Number one, by the leaders of Island Community Church falling into sin. Number two, the leaders of Island Community Church always asking for money. Look, I have never, in 13 years as the pastor of this church, ever preached a sermon on money in this church. But the day that you quit giving is the day that this church becomes a roller skating rink. And in that day, the government will start meeting the needs of the community, not us. Number three, by you being a hypocrite. Hypocrite, the Greek word hypocrite, is a play actor. Someone had a false face on like a doctor's tongue depressor, right? Say You get that little false face in front of your face? Hypocrite. You say you're a Christian and you hurt children. See, when people see that, they say, aha, I knew it all along. I knew that. That old church is all full of a bunch of hypocrites. Number two, you're a bad person. I said, you hurt children, you're a bad person. Number three, you're the same as all the unbelievers out in the world. You drink and you smoke and chew and mistreat your wife, but you're known as a Christian. You see, that causes the name of God to be blasphemed among the unbelievers when you do those kind of things. He says, just be careful not to do this. You're now known by the noble name of Christian. So that was number three. Number four, dishonest Christians and business owners. Man, oh man, that's another good one. You know, like at the radio station when we're looking for people, plumbers, electricians, roofers, you know, we'll always go with a Christian first before we go with someone else. And then when you contact a Christian business and they're just lying, cheating, and stealing, and they're deceiving, and they're just like everyone else, you see, that's when the mutterers start muttering, I knew it all along. You're all talk. You're just like everyone else. You say that you are a Christian, and you do just like everyone else, and the name of God gets blasphemed among the Gentiles because of what we do. They cause others to blaspheme God and say, I knew it. They're only after money. Or look at the hypocrites in the church. They're no different than everyone else. In spite of that, a phrase you've heard before, that holier than thou, that comes out of them. Here's a fifth way that would lead others to blaspheme God because of our actions. Having ungodly things going on in the sanctuary. Bingo. Another church I used to go to on the island, the Republican National Committee used to meet in the sanctuary every month. I don't think you should use the sanctuary for that. This is God's house. Meet in the fellowship hall if you've got to meet. Meet at the Holiday Inn. Don't meet in here. This is God's house. Should be treated with respect and reverence in God's house. That's my opinion, at least. Now let's move on to chapter 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 9.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.